as we saw in the video, there's people in this world that have no positive spiritual influence in their life. But God's desire is what? It's for everyone to be saved. And He has called us to be part of that ministry, each and every one of us. Sometimes, like I said, He'll bring people in our path, people in our life specifically for us to witness to. And we talked a little bit about Awana this morning, and I'm so thankful for this church and its outreach to the community. And I would pray that even today that the Holy Spirit may touch your hearts and be part of that ministry. Commander Steve, do you need any more help? Could you use some more leaders? Jan and I have been involved in Awana for over 13 years, and it holds a very special place in our hearts. And living here in Lebanon, every time we saw the Awana bus drive by, hey, look, there's the Awana bus. We're so grateful that God has given this church an opportunity to have a bus ministry in the Awana program. So how are we to disciple? I'm going to share just a few concepts. And I'll talk specifically about Awana just to use that as an example. But these concepts can be used in any type of a discipleship ministry. Why? Because it's the way that Jesus discipled. So who knows the first goal in the Awana Pledge? Who can pick out the first goal of the Awana Pledge? Yes, Gene. Very good. So what are we trying to reach? Are we trying to reach their stomachs? Are we trying to reach their head? Well, Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so he is." So we are trying to reach the hearts of those that we are discipling. Normally we think of, when we think of thinking, we think of our head or our mind or our brain. But biblically speaking, the heart is where you think and make decisions. Psalm 119:11 says, "Your words have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." So what is in the heart is what determines who you are. It's your essence. It defines your worldview. Now, one of the responsibilities of Awana Clubbers is to memorize verses. And sometimes they'll recite a verse and you ask them to recite it again maybe 5 or 10 minutes later and it's already gone. They've already forgotten it. Being able to recite a verse is only the first step in hiding God's Word in their hearts. And it's not truly in their heart until it affects the way that they think. So our goal as a discipler is to change the way the person thinks. Because when they think right, then they will do right. And when they do right, then they will feel right. Today's society has it all backwards. They start with feeling. Whatever feels good, that's what they're going to do. And whatever they're doing, well, that's the justification for what they're doing is the feeling. So our goal is to influence the way that our disciple thinks, whether it's a Awana Clubber or your next door neighbor. So we have to consider what impacts thinking. According to Larry Fowler, the author of Rock Solid Children's Ministry, the number one factor that affects thinking is modeling. And modeling is the number one factor that affects thinking, particularly the modeling of someone with whom there is a strong relationship. Strong relationship, very important. That's why discipleship matters, and that's why discipleship is important, strong relationships. If you don't remember anything else I say today, remember strong relationships and modeling. So let's take a quick look at strong relationships. Connecting with clubbers, connecting with your disciple is paramount. Have you ever tried to go door-to-door evangelism or street corner evangelism? How effective is that in making a disciple? Not very effective at all, right? Maybe it's good if you want to hand them a tract or invite them to church, but to make a disciple, you wouldn't go door-to-door to make a disciple. Why? Because there's no time there to build that strong relationship. You need to be able to form deep, long-lasting, personal relationships. God has shown us, or Jesus has shown us in His teaching, that personal relationships are important to discipling someone. Sharing your life with the person. Share your life with the person you're discipling. That's how Jesus did it. In reference to Jesus and his disciples, listen to this. Knowledge of Christ was gained by association before it was understood by explanation. Knowledge of Christ was gained by association before it was understood by explanation. Jesus ate with his disciples. He slept near his disciples. He spent the day with his disciples. He talked with them. And it's all about forming relationships. And if the disciplee doesn't feel that you care for them or that you love them, then they're going to feel like they're just another project. They're not a person. The person should not only know that Christ loves them, but also that you love them. And it may be only a few hours a week that you get to spend with this person. Pardon me. It may be only a few hours a week that you get to be this person's spiritual parent. And it may be the only parental love that they get that week. It may be the only spiritual teaching that they get that week. But it's... But we've got to love these people, whether it's a club or whether it's someone you work with, and we've got to pour our lives into them. Sometimes it's so easy to get caught up in the affairs of this life that we miss the most important things. So how are we to disciple? We're discipled by forming strong relationships and modeling our faith. So let's look at modeling. Gene, what's the second goal of Awana Pledge? Train them to serve Him. A few minutes ago, I spoke about being a spiritual parent. So parenting, training, modeling, those all form the basis of being a disciple. So how do we train someone? Let's say I'm the CEO of a pineapple processing plant, and I've hired Pastor Kent here to be my employee, and I take him out on the processing line, and I say, Ken, we're going to process pineapples today. Here's everything you need. Go ahead and get started. I come back 5 minutes later, and he's still standing there with his hands in his pockets. Hey, you're eating them. So, Ken, what's going on? You haven't produced any pineapples. You haven't processed any pineapples. So, well, I don't know what to do. Well, I didn't instruct him on what to do, right? So now I pull out this cheat sheet. I say, okay, Ken, here's the 30 things you need to do. Get to work. I come back 5 minutes later, and there's pineapple everywhere. You know, it's hanging off of his nose. It's in his hair. Yeah, a little bit of hair. Ken, what's going on? He said, well, you told me what to do, but you didn't show me. So how do we train someone? We instruct them. We show them. And what's the next step? We allow them to show us back. So we watch them. They watch us. And that's the same way that we disciple someone. We instruct them through the Word of God. We allow them to see us doing what we should be doing. And then we watch them do the same thing. And you know, what does that look like? Well, depending on who you're discipling, it could be, you know, a single lady, it could be a young man, it could be a couple, it could be a young person. But just some things that they need to see you doing and you need to see them doing. You know, reading their Bible, praying, teaching, serving, worshiping, helping the needy, memorizing verses, being part of a Bible study. You know, the list can go on and on. Modeling your faith has to be visible to the person that you're discipling. They have to see you do it. We're getting a little bit short on time. I know this is hard. It's not natural for us to disciple someone. It takes effort. It takes time. It takes initiative. But God has given everything you need through the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to do this. We read earlier about Moses and some of the fears and struggles that he had. Well, God, what if they don't believe me? What if they don't listen to me? I don't speak very well. I'm slow of speech. I'm slow of tongue. Please send someone else. Just someone else go disciple this person because I can't do it. These are the things that we tell ourselves today. I've used some of these same excuses. But do you remember what the next verse says? It says, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And God has saved us for a purpose, and that is to make disciples. And we saw what God did. God asked Moses, "Moses, what is that in your hand?" And he said, "It's a staff. It's just a stick." And God said, "Throw it on the ground," and it became a snake. And for the rest of Moses' life, God used that staff to show his power. And he wants to do the same thing in our lives. He wants to use what you already have. You say, "Well, there's nothing in my hand." Well, I beg to differ. Do you like archery? Do you like guns? Do you like fishing, baseball, soccer, football, gardening, cooking, sewing, photography, videography, computer, skydiving, drag racing? You fill in the blank. If you allow God to take that and use it for His glory, He will show you His power through it. And it's a great way to build relationships. It's a great way to build strong relationships that will allow you to share the Word of God and to make disciples. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor.